The approach is flexible and does not necessarily include the close encounter syndrome, as you are aware. Questioner, what about the physical examination syndrome? How does that relate to Wanderers and Confederation and Orion Contus? 31, Chapter 1, Being a Wanderer Ra, I am Ra. The subconscious expiations of entities cause the nature and detail of thought form experience offered by Confederation thought form entities. Thus, if a Wanderer expiates a physical examination, it will, perforce, be experienced with as little distortion towards alarm or discomfort as is allowable by the nature of the expiations of the subconscious distortions of the Wanderer. The Orion group uses the physical examination as a means of terrifying the individual and causing it to feel the feelings of an advanced second density being such as a laboratory animal. The sexual experiences of some are a subtype of this experience. The intent is to demonstrate the control of the Orion entities over the Terran inhabitant. Their positive thought form experiences are survive and, for the most part, do not occur in this density. 26 The Ra speaks specifically of the point or phenomenon of positively oriented UFO Kunta. The feeling of being awakened or elevated is the goal of this type of Kunta. The duration and imagery used varies depending upon the subconscious expiations of the Wanderer which is experiencing this opportunity for elevation. 27 And here they speak of what the mechanics of mixed Kunta are. Questioner, are most of the UFOs which are seen in our skies from the Orion group? Ra, I am Ra. Many of those seen in your skies are of the Orion group. They send out messages. Some are received by those who are oriented toward service to others. These messages then are altered to be acceptable to those entities while warning of difficulties ahead. This is the most that self-serving entities can do when faced with those whose wish is to serve others. The Kuntus which the group finds most helpful to their cause are those Kuntus made with entities whose orientation is towards service to self. There are many thought form entities in your skies which are of a positive nature and are the Proions of the Confederation. 28 Orion is a constellation in the night sky that contains the first magnitude stars of Rigel and Betelgeuse. There well may be efforts at positive Kunta from these star systems populations, but Orion Kunta has come to mean negative Kunta, and we will use it that way. Information on Orion Kunta has been channeled by Laura Knight Jadzik, author of The Cassiopeians, who wrote this to me. 32, Chapter 1, Being a Wanderer. There is a big effort on behalf of Orion Union Service to Self, STS, and their human brethren, the Consortium, to create a new race and control it as well as the rest of humanity. They are also engineering new bodies for themselves to occupy at the time of the transition to fourth density because theirs no longer satisfy them. The cloning and stealing of human embryos is a study to determine which is, their, best soul receptacle for themselves. They plan to switch physical realities. 29 That's one theory. There are more. My own feeling is that we will continue to receive as much disinformation as information, and I salute the inevitability of unknowing. In our own research we have often run into stories that seem to suggest this theory that the Greys are after genetic material. Everything from cattle mutilations to human women reporting the conception and birth of alien air babies, where the signs of pregnancy are the, including fetal heartbeat, and then after about 3 months, all symptoms disappear, seem to bear this theory out. However, this is all hypothesis, not far, Whitley Strieber's and others' books notwithstanding. Here are two such stories. Suddenly I woke up on their ship surrounded by them, Greys. I pleaded the blood of Jesus and they really were surprised. Then I was calmed and one of them approached me. I told him I knew about the one. That was all I remembered. 30 After going through the Abdui checklist, I believe both my son and my boyfriend have also been Kuntu-ed. Unexplainable bloodstains on the bed covers, my sleep paralysis at times. The uneasy sleep that they both get, unexplained bruises on all of us. There is something deep within my psyche that will not let me remember a lot of these things. 31 The aim of this first session is to share enough stories to let readers see that they truly are not the only ones having bizarre and unusual, From the standpoint of consensus reality, things happen to them. If we haven't hit your particular sort of experience yet, read on. There are more. With a little help from my friends, almost all wanderers' experience of daily life is one which includes many feelings of being alone. The mismatch between the self and the more normal members of our culture is often all too evident. Perhaps that is, 33, Chapter 1, Being a Wanderer: Why There Is So Much Effort by Unseen Friends to Make and Maintain Contact. Here Yuo speaks on this point. We assure each that we walk with you on this journey and that no entity walks alone, for each has those friends, teachers and guides that walk with it as do those brothers and sisters within your own illusion walk with each in spirit. 32 Here are two tales of wanderers being befriended by human-like beings. It started about 5 or 6 years ago. All my normal dreams stopped and I saw this form of man. Every night he showed me things. I saw all my lives. Who I am. He has taught me balance with most things. I love people much more now. Almost everything they do will make me smile. It's like I have a secret. 33 I was always an oddity. Born in the South with a Native American background, the unusual became a way of life. By the time I was 3 or 4, I had experienced so-called abduction experiences. I did not see them as a negative. They were my friends, my playmates. Kinta has continued in one form or another over the years. Sometimes it still gets very intense. 34 I imagine that the unusual is a way of life for many of us, at least from time to time. These voices of spirit do not have the timbre and sound of spoken communication all the time. Here Yuo talks about these voices. The voice of spirit seems to speak in so many ways to one who is listening, and the more one begins to attend to coincidences and synchronicities, the more one begins to get a feeling of spirit talking back to you, that unseen companion that is willing to place within the consciousness alternate ways of being. This is work for the persistent, for, indeed, it is the work of the incarnation, not a work done in a day, or a year, or a decade, but rather that goal of self-awareness and self-choice that is as the star that each follows. 35 More voices. As a child I would see spirits, talk with them. My friends were the trees, the animals, the sky, the stars, and the earth. Since I can remember, I have always been in communication with the spirit world. Since I was a child I could see apparitions and communicate with them. ETs, 34, Chapter 1, Being a Wanderer: Animals, etc. I still can and do, though sometimes the spirits only appear in colors. I get messages from them. And comfort. 36 I was about 12 years old, reading There Is a River, about Edgar Case. Voices in my head were telling me information of a similar nature to that which Case channeled. I knew the answers after I read questions that people in the book supposedly asked Case. I have since realized most 12-year-olds do not crave metaphysics as I did at that point. I feel fortunate because I can prove metaphysical Kunta. By this I mean up until 12 or 13 I received average grades in school. Then in 7th grade my mind exploded because then schoolwork became a lot easier. I would say the more complicated subjects, especially such as mathematics. I am a statistician by vocation today. 37 Oh, would that more school children might get such needed aid in such a timely manner. More and more children are being born with unusual awarenesses. Then there are angelic visitations. I realize that the word angel has emotive content, positive for those who do not object to this culturally charged image, negative for those who do. Yet, by whatever name these essences are called, this is an important subtype of voice, often reported, because of the permeation of the culture with this set of images. In my own channeling, this image appears fairly frequently. Call them what we will, they are a mighty force. Here, those of you who say, there is much unseen support for work in consciousness, for prayers, and for a life lived in faith. We ask you to lean into that support. This instrument would call it angelic support and say that there are angels everywhere. Other entities would describe this far differently, but the concept remains the same. There is guidance. There is help, for the Creator is constantly communicating to you using everything, nature, the environment, other people, coincidences. Be alert. Begin to see the spiritually interesting coincidences and you shall be much encouraged thereby. 38 I love that phrase, spiritually interesting coincidences. Once we catch on to looking for them, they are literally everywhere. More about those in later chapters. 2. Angel stories from wanderers. At the age of 2, I first heard my guardian angel. I was most of the way up our basement steps with my pup in hand when a deep male, 35, chapter 1, being a wanderer voice said quite audibly in my right ear, "Put the puppy down. You're going to fall." I remember turning around and pondering where on earth that voice came from. I didn't listen though and, yes, I ended up at the bottom of the stairs. I have heard that same voice at various times throughout my life giving warning, although I was 16 before I realized it was time I started to listen, and he has never been wrong. 39 When I was about 18 months old, I saw this angel, who had come to see me, I suppose, and although I did not recognize him as someone from the village, I did know him from somewhere. He looked like Michael Jackson, heaven forbid, with this long black and curly hair staring at me with deep blue eyes, almost violet in color, big flowery irises, and he seemed to be shocked. I heard him thinking, "My God, what have you done?" And he was thinking about waves of sadness lying ahead of me, but still, it was making him sad. I can't really say that I understood what was going on. And then he kneeled down and caressed my cheek, still looking at me and I looking at him, trying to take it all in, and then he stood and turned and walked away and I followed suit. And, once in the garden, a billowing mist stood over the pumpkin patch, green, like a bough. It stood and descended to earth and he walked into it and the next moment he was gone with the mist! ! 40 Perhaps the best angel story I ever heard came from a young woman. So long ago I cannot recall her name. I do remember that she had 5 children very close in age, the oldest being 7. They told her about this nice man that would come to them when they were in bed, and tell them stories till they went to sleep. One Saturday morning she awoke, realizing that it was already broad daylight and her children must be up and hungry. Wondering why they had not awakened her as they normally did, she went to the kitchen, only to find the remains of an eggs and bacon breakfast on the table, and 5 satisfied toddlers. They excitedly reported that their friend had asked them to let their mom sleep in, while he fixed them breakfast. She said that she would have doubted them, or even dismissed it completely, except for the dirty frying pan and the leftover food on the children's plates. To finish this, say Ian, here is a story of an alien voice. There have been times when I needed reassurance that I was not just crazy. I asked the friends to show themselves in a material way. They agreed. This is something that I will not ask again. The experience of seeing them was incredibly beautiful and traumatic. Asking 4th, 36, Chapter 1, being a wanderer, density beings to materialize is something I recommend against, unless you are comfortable with your reality being ripped away. 41 Those of you who bid this say I and goodbye, as they say, sorrow is essential to this experience that you call third density life. But your attitude towards this sorrowing, grieving and changing process can create for you a peace that surpasses all understanding. We encourage each of you to see that heaven, even if it is from afar, to know that the angels and ministers that have always loved you, love you now and are here to help you. Though unseen they hover, waiting to comfort, looking for ways to confirm any glimmer of hope within. You are never alone in this process. This is a guarded and protected process, and the haven does abide. May each of you help each other to find your way home. 42, not belonging as a wanderer, I am less psychic than most, except for my channeling, which did not spring up spontaneously, but was a response to a request from Don Elkins that I develop that gift. In terms of UFO or paranormal sightings or any of the various voices we've heard from, I am without experience, thick as a plank. But I really fit in as a wanderer in how much I do not fit in with the world. Boy, oh brother, do I not fit in? I am told I was a happy baby, a bubbly toddler and always a gay and light child. That is the person my family knew. Wally, for the first 2 years of my life, I only knew my mother, as my dad had gone to the South Pacific 2 months after I was conceived, and did not return until 3 years later. For the first year, mother and I lived with her parents, and my first memories are of Nana, my mother's mother, teaching the piano to students in the next room while I sat up in my high chair. I was a precocious child, reading music at 2 and words at 3, singing in the church choir when I was 4, running off the I scale at 200 when I was tested at age 5, and again at age 8. Please note that this precocity or genius side does not, in my opinion, speak to the question of adult competence or true intelligence. It merely ensures that I have a very busy mind that processes a lot of material. This is not a particularly handy trait, but I share high intelligence with many, many awakened spiritual seekers. Wanderers tend to be smart. To make the sense of difference deeper, I was physically odd-looking, skinny, with a badly crossed eye which had been with me since birth and which, 37, chapter 1. Being a wanderer remained deafy until my body grew old enough that the eye muscles could be operated on at age 11. I wore glasses from the age of 14 months. Other children did not relate to me as a fellow child. My nickname at school was Professor. I earnestly wished I could fit in. I made efforts. My problem was that the normal Levites made no sense to me. Why would I want to play with a doll? I had a little brother. I made repeated tries at playing with other children, but I was rebuffed, always. For the most part, one read countless books, spent solitary time in nature and dreamed my way through an otherwise most uncomfortable childhood. I made sense to myself, and to some extent my family accepted me, but they knew I was different, and so did the world. Things turned around for me when I was 16, going on 17. It was as if suddenly, the rest of the people my age could see some kind of sense to me. From that point on, my experience with the world of people has been much, much less disconcerting, but there remains a distance that I do not know how to bridge between me and the cultural games by which people figure out the pecking order and defend territory. I have come to know when those games are going on, because I can feel the discomfort in the atmosphere. But at no time have I been able to penetrate the games. I am without a hint or shadow of what it means to be normal. This does have its upside, and I have come to celebrate being myself. But learning to accept myself was a long road filled with ruts of self-unworth and pain. And I know I am not at all alone, for many have written in to share their feelings of not belonging. Hatton says, "We are very pleased that so many of those who came to the Earth sphere during this time have remembered or are beginning subconsciously to remember why they came, for it is very usual in such cases for at least 9 out of 10 of these incarnated extra-dimensional people to forget for their entire incarnation why it is that they have such a feeling of not belonging, why it is that they do not fit in, why it is that their natures seem so often at odds with society. 43 I promise we will get to working with the why of this. For now, my aim is to acquaint us with the many other wanderers who, like us, do not seem to fit in. Here are 2 wanderers whose feelings of not belonging surfaced as a child. I have known what I was seemingly forever. As a small child, I knew something was different. I grew up with few friends, and always associated myself with being too something, too tall, too smart, too fat, too loud, not quite in social parameters, too often on the outside looking. 38, Chapter 1, being a wanderer in, with an eye that was far above my years, as many said. And in being different that young, you can imagine, for children are often cruel to those who are different. And eventually I learned to hide it away and put on the appearance of normal. 44 My mother tells me I've always been very different. I was not rebellious or rude, but just to Ed and behaved differently. People and friends always told me I was strange or weird, from the things I say. I never liked groups or being in a crowd of people like at a party. 45 I can sympathize there. I still avoid large or formal parties. School was difficult for me, because I was quicker than most students, which my teachers found troubling. They also tended to take behavior like covering their mistakes and attempting to tutor slower students who sat near me as misbehavior. I spent half of third grade and all of fourth grade in the school library, as the teacher I had for those 2 years became unable to abide having me in her class. I consumed the contents of most of the books in that library, by the way, and thoroughly enjoyed that period in my life. Here is another soul who found school to be her first focus of not belonging. As a child, I used to cry every single day. I mean, if someone looked at me wrong, it would set me to tears. I used to drive my parents nuts. I moved to New Hampshire back in 1979 when I was only 9, from a large school to a small one, and immediately I was an outsider, and boy oh boy, how I was attacked and picked on. I never fit in. It's like how animals, if they sense a weakness or difference, they attack and kill. That's how it was for me through school. Today, 20 years later, I'm comfortable with the fact that no, I do not fit in. 46 Some wanderers report the feeling of being an outsider as first focusing as a teenager, finding normal group socialization awkward and often meaningless in content. I was partially given and partially reached for the role of outsider from the beginning of my teens. Escapism was into fantasy and science fiction. 47 I inhaled science fiction and fantasy also, from about the age of 14, and still love the genre. Here are two stories about being different as adults. 39. Chapter 1. Being a wanderer, I used to think difficulties I had in life were just mere fly-ins of everyone's life. That is, all humans, at one time or another, have difficulties in living, but I've come to realize that my difficulties arise from a fundamental difference in thought. I've yet to meet anyone who holds any of my ideals or basic life beliefs. Most of the time I feel like I'm on the outside of a bubble looking in at the rest of humanity, unable to understand or commune with them, and there's no way to break or enter that bubble. Most of the time I don't even feel human, although I can't deny my human physiology. 48 I've often wondered if I'm a wanderer since I've never felt very much at home or comfortable here, there, or anywhere. Is that a wanderer? Very difficult life. I'm 67, a PhD, editor, college professor, etc. But there's a void, a feeling of having been abandoned. Not cued to life like other people are. But by whom? Why? These are very great and important questions for me. Are there answers? No. Are there solutions? Perhaps. 49 And these voices speak to me with a special flavor also, I am not certain who or what I am. One thing is certain, I have never felt as if I belong. Many of my contemporaries have stated behind my back that I am a strange one, that I am different. Well, the only thing I am certain of is that I am very different and have felt this difference all my life. I have always felt alone on this planet among the multitudes. Many times I have asked the universe, why am I so different? 50 Even though I have always felt different from others, I have always accepted myself as I am. Sometimes I wondered why I was the way I was. No answer, of course. I wasn't awake then. Now that I am awake, I don't mind the feeling of differentness. I look on it as a reminder that my spirit is evolving and I do so look forward to reaching the next spiritual level. 51. Not from around here. Lots of wanderers have far more than a vague suspicion that they don't come from around here. Ewell talks about this. 40. Chapter 1. Being a wanderer, we are aware of the feeling that many entities within this planetary influence experience, of being away from home, and may suggest that there are many, many entities upon this planet that have journeyed here from elsewhere, that is, from another planetary influence. You are not all of one source or origination. As far as progression from a second density influence into the third density, and this accounts for much of the difficulty in relationships between societies, nationalities, races, religions and so forth upon your planetary influence. 52 So it is not only entities from higher densities that have come to planet Earth from elsewhere. Many times, Confederation entities talk about the various unfinished third density populations, such as Mars and Moldk, who entered reincarnation cycles on Earth in order to finish third density lessons of love that they were unable to fulfill on their native spheres because their planets became inhospitable to third density life. This sentiment is echoed by Norma Talvik. The way I see it, we are all from someplace else, or I could say we are all cosmic beings. 53 But we who are wanderers from higher densities have true heuristic types of homesickness. As Yuo puts it, these entities, however, have within them the distant and dimly lit memory of their origin as being from elsewhere, and in many cases this feeling is in the form of what you may call a kind of homesickness or alienation from the planetary influences and vibrations that are of more disharmonious nature within this third density influence. However, each entity in the heart of its being is aware that, though there is a home that may be located elsewhere, the true home of all seekers of light and servants of the one Creator is within that service and within that light that comes from only one source, the one Creator, and each may take solace in knowing that the Creator resides within each entity and shines the light of love and service to all equally. 54 I can well remember meeting Don Elkins, and feeling that he knew everything I was thinking. It was a wonderful, homey kind of feeling. No explanations needed. Some wanderers have deeply awakened and can read us clearly, and it is a marvelous feeling. However, to counterbalance this, there are many who may fear that some who came here as wanderers will not awaken to their deeper identity. My guidance is that many more of us were seeded here than were really needed in the end, because it was known that not all of us, 41, chapter 1, being a wanderer would make it through. The parable about the sowing of the seed says it well. I feel I barely made it myself, and only by the slimmest of threads. 55 So to those of us who have remembered enough to be reading this volume, the Yuo group says, as wanderers you came for two reasons, to serve and to be tested. If there is comfort in knowing that the path that is in front of each now is the appropriate, destined path designed by yourself, then please take comfort in that. There is always, in the illusion, the feeling that to be without the heavy body and heavy experiences of third density would be greatly desired. Yet, as soon as the incarnation is naturally over, the seeking spirit gazes backwards and thinks, why did I not learn more? What a great opportunity. 56 Let's listen to some wanderers who remember other planetary homes. I was 8 when I told everyone that I was from Venus, and I believed it. I couldn't explain it satisfactorily to myself or anyone else, but I was sure of it. 57 I am in love with the blue star, Sirius. It is my home, I feel. And my mind goes, yeah, nutcase. 58 I know that I am not from planet Earth and that I came here via Sirius, but from where I do not know. I am a Reiki master and enjoy my work in the healing arts, but I never charge for my services. 59 For many wanderers, such as these below, the stars themselves triggered homesickness. I think I have always known I was star people even before I knew the words or understood the concepts. I remember lying in the grass on summer nights, looking at the stars and feeling a deep and sorrowful homesickness. 60 Always wanted to leave this planet, this life. Always thinking about life on other planets. Always longing to fly among the stars. 61 Many wanderers are triggered by that wonderful word itself, home. 42, chapter 1, being a wanderer at one point, I too had a very strong longing to go home. I recognized it, and I said it to a friend. But I didn't really understood what I meant, cause all of the homes I knew in this life didn't seem to be where I wanted to go. 62 The themes of my dreams were of distant lands and realities, such as looking down from a ridge over a valley of pristine woods in a country before any civilization, weeping and thinking, I want to go home. The depth of sorrow and homesickness that I felt in the dream was immense. 63 As a very young child, I would look at the sky and wonder why I was here, why I couldn't go home. But I knew I had a lesson to learn here and a job to do.